Hour Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Friday. 251-343-0106. State Senator Chris Elliott about an hour from now. Please stick around for that. Joining us now, she is a Republican nominee for Secretary of State here in Alabama, but Caroline Dobson joins us on the line. Caroline, how are you?
I'm doing great, Jeff. How are you doing?
Doing well. Thanks for making time for us. You've been making the rounds. I guess I saw Katie Britt's 250 gathering, and then we ran into each other up in DeKalb County. You're still kind of on the campaign trail, technically.
Yes, and there have been so many wonderful opportunities of fellowship around the 250th celebration. So it's been great to get together with other Republicans throughout the state and celebrate the freedoms we enjoy as Americans. But also, again, be aware that, in order for us to make it to the 300th anniversary of our country, there's a lot of work that needs to be done. It's a daily fight to make sure that we ensure the benefits of the Constitution that our founding fathers, with God's guidance, ensured for us, that we ensure that to the next generation. And so that's why I've been really grateful that there have been, again, so many opportunities to not only celebrate our country, but also be motivated to try to work to save her.
Yeah. Well, to talk about this, so you're now the Republican nominee, but what does it look like for you now? You were kind of not really an intense challenge in the Republican primary there, but now you're in a general election setting, and I guess it's just you're still doing the blocking and tackling.
Absolutely. No, and I'm so grateful and humbled to be on the same ticket with other Republican nominees. We've got a really, really stellar lineup. We've got great party leadership from our chairman all the way down to grassroots levels. But complacency is the killer, and we cannot be complacent about this election. We've got to have a good turnout across the board. We can't just rest on our laurels and assume that just because I think it's, again, a high likelihood that all statewide constitutional officers elected this fall will be Republican. We have got to stay engaged. We've got to get more people involved and active in the party. And we also have some really contested and on the line elections throughout the state, local elections, some state legislative races, some House seats that we can flip, as well as our congressional races as well. So, even if, odds are I'll probably win in November, I need to be spending every moment trying to make sure people get out to vote in August and in November. And so that's what's my focus. I was at a forum in Monroe County last night, but we have got to get high Republican turnout in the special election in August. District 2 is now majority Republican, but it is not an overwhelming majority. Shamari Figures is viewed as a rising star in the Democrat Party. As we saw 2 years ago, he's got the support of Hakeem Jeffries and the DCCC and, Obama. And so he's going to try to keep that seat. So we've got to have a strong turnout in August to let them know that there's no chance of that. Same with District 7. The Democrat majority in District 7 is not as large as it once was. That seat is flippable if we have a high Republican turnout. But we have got, in order for the nominee for District 7 to actually gain some momentum and get some national support, the Republicans in District 7 have got to turn out on August 11th as well. So my focus is doing everything I can to make sure that we have a good Republican turnout on August 11th. And then between August and November, I'm going to be helping those congressional candidates, helping Rex Reynolds up in North Alabama, helping Fred Kelly down in Southwest Alabama. We have got to make sure that we keep all of these House seats in districts that looked kind of purple in the primary, and that we also are able to flip some House seats as well. So it's all hands on deck, and every single Republican nominee needs to be out there working for the party and working for our fellow nominees.
Well, talk about this. So you win the election as Secretary of State, and this has been a chronic issue in Alabama primaries for a long, long time, where you just have this low turnout. Is it the response? I mean, like, I don't think it's a responsibility, but is there anything at that level as the state's chief election officer can do to increase turnout, or at least push turnout, or do something to get voters more engaged? Like, is it even the responsibility of an office like that?
Well, I mean, as the state's top election official, I think it's not just administering, you know, elections themselves, but also ensuring that our elections are reflective of the people that live here, that as many rightful voters in this state are engaged, and that we count every single legal vote, and we don't count any vote that is not legal in this state. And so I certainly have a lot of goals with respect to engagement, trying to get more young people registered to vote, trying to get more young people to volunteer on Election Day. You know, I think overwhelmingly Alabamians under 50, just due to COVID and technology, a lot of young people have flexible work schedules, or they can, you know, they're not necessarily punching in a clock from 9 to 5. And, you know, if you have a flexible work schedule, there is no reason why you should not be volunteering to be a poll worker or to help with elections, because we desperately need the next generation of Election Day volunteers to step up and learn from. We've got a world of Election Day workers that are, you know, over 70. And these folks are very knowledgeable, but they're not going to be around forever. And so we need to be recruiting the next generation of Election Day workers. But voting is a habit, you know, and I think if we can instill that habit in young people when they turn 18, I mean, I remember, so I didn't turn 18 until the February after the 2004 presidential election. I was so upset that I didn't get to participate in that election, and I registered to vote as soon as I turned 18. But if we can get other young people to, you know, to desire to participate in this process, to understand that this is their future, and they need to again, not only vote, but they need to take an active role in helping ensure that these elections are secure. So that's certainly part of my platform, and will be an objective that I'm committed to executing when I'm in office.
Joined by Caroline Dobson here on the program. She's a candidate for Secretary of State in the general election on November 3rd, representing the Republican Party. Is this, this is a question on the text line, that there's just too many elections and there's sort of an election fatigue. We go through a municipal election cycle, and we go through runoffs, and then we go through a general election cycle. Then we go all over a year, and then the campaigning is very, very intense. Now, this year, we have primary runoff, a special election primary, general election, that a lot of it just becomes kind of background noise for a lot of the public.
No, I mean, I understand that, and that's why I think it's really important, too, that information about voting and where you vote and how you vote is very accessible to voters. I think there was a lot of confusion with municipal elections coming on the heels of the presidential election. You know, not that long afterwards, a lot of folks who are engaged to follow politics don't realize that municipal elections are administered by city clerks, whereas all other elections are administered by your probate judge. So I think it's also certainly incumbent on the Office of Secretary of State to be proactive in making it as simple as possible, as painless as possible for rightful voters in this state to know where they need to go. So it's also my goal, of course, as well to work with county commissions to make sure that that our precincts reflect, you know, changing population density centers, that people aren't having to wait hours and hours to vote, because that's disenfranchisement as well. I think we, you know, all agree that voting on election day is the way to ensure secure elections. Of course.
Do we lose you there, Caroline? I think we got it. She connected to her car. Caroline Dobson, we'll hold here for her. See if she reconnects. Text line 251-343-0106 if you want to be in touch with the program here. Let's see what we can do. We could just call her back. Anyway, so we're talking about it, and the idea of a election fatigue was to question it. So you have election, and people get tired of voting, and I think that contributes to the low voter turnout. Hey, Caroline, how are you?
Hello.
Hey, I think we whatever you connected to your car, and we got to hear.
Oh,
you.
I'm sorry, I'm on the road today.
We heard your children back there singing.
I'm sorry.
It happens to me all the time, especially when now we have relocated and the Bluetooth will connect to my phone during while I'm on air sometimes. So.
Well, I stepped outside of the car, and I guess it got reconnected, but sorry about that. Am I on air currently?
You are on air.
Okay, yes. Okay. Well, I'm sorry about that. But yes, that is a family affair, and we are all hands on deck this summer trying to keep Alabama red. But again, another reason for election fatigue is due to the fact that, you know, we had the Section 2 of the Voting Rights Act that was unconstitutionally being used by radical left activists to try to impose more Democrat seats on the state of Alabama. So, you know, once we have this special election in August, again, I'm grateful for it because it will gain us at least one more, hopefully two more Republican seats in Congress. But, you know, if you're irritated about that, we wouldn't have a need for that if federal courts had not undermined the Alabama legislature in allowing the Alabama legislature to draw districts that reflect the values of this state, the conservative values of this state.
You feel like we're on a path to 7-0 map, or at least a map that would favor 7-0?
Well, I think it all depends on if Republicans actually get out to vote in August and again in November. Last night in the Monroe County Courthouse, you know, the setting for To Kill a Mockingbird, we got to hear from two of the Republican candidates for Congressional District 7, both of which were gave really compelling talks. I mean, they're both committed to trying to defeat Terry Sewell. That district now has a lot more red counties. And so I think and I think too, you know, there have certainly been some Republicans in old Congressional District 7 that because of just the overwhelming majority of Democrats in that district, they kind of felt resigned and maybe they didn't vote. Maybe they didn't feel like there was a path or a chance, but there definitely is now. And so every single Republican in that district, which is where my parents live, a lot of my family live, it's what, you know, where I call home is in that district, and we cannot be represented by Terry Sewell. There's a reason that part of the state is the poorest part of the state and one of the poorest parts of the country, and it's because it has been under the cloud of a Democrat congressman for the past 30 plus years. So it's incredibly important that every single Republican gets out in November, but also again gets out in August, because that nominee, Republican nominee in Congressional District 7 is going to need to be able to get national support. And they can do that if a lot of Republicans get out, if we can show, you know, Speaker Johnson and all of the Republican members of the House that there is momentum and that we can flip it in November.
Yeah, and we'll wrap it up on this. Just getting to that point and doing it, and you'll have to, let's say today that happens in 28 or 30, administer the elections, make sure everybody's aware of what congressional district they're in, doing all the blocking and tackling necessary to get a 7-0 map. I mean, if the legislature does it, then in part got to be your job to probate judges around the state, et cetera, to the clerks, et cetera, to get this going. Is that something, you know, that you've given much thought to?
Oh, absolutely. And you know, and again, we've got a lot of different district lines for different purposes too. So that's where, again, I think we can do a lot more on educating voters, not just about what congressional district they're in, but, you know, now we have PSC districts that have different lines. And so making sure folks know which PSC district they're in, it's, I think, incredibly important that folks have a better understanding of what state Board of Education district they're in. So again, it can be confusing, but it's going to be my job to make it as accessible and as palatable as possible to every single voter in this state so that they know, you know, where they are and who they're voting for. And then, of course, where to go to vote, make that spoon feed that as much as possible, because, it is a commitment. You have to prioritize voting on election day, and any hindrances or obstacles to that is going to decrease the turnout. So we've got to get turnout up and got to make that information readily accessible.
Carolee, folks want to check out more about your campaign, where can they look?
Yes. Well, please check us out at DobsonForAlabama.com. We're also on social media, Facebook, Instagram, X, Truth Social. And again, you'll be seeing me on the campaign trail. I am not taking it easy. I'm working hard to make sure that we not only stay red, but when it comes to some of these critical local races and state legislative races, that we flip some seats. And I also just want to say for your listeners in Mobile, I'm certainly saddened by the loss of Sheriff Cochran and also Senator Roberts, and thinking about the loss of two great leaders for the area, and certainly their families will be in my prayers.
Carolee Dobson, ladies and gentlemen. Carolee, thanks for making time for us.
Thank you. Sorry for the hiccup.
That's no problem. Let's get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5. I know I need my rest, but if I don't stay up all night, sleep all day, I ain't at my best. Hey, yes, we are beer drinkers. Yes, we are hell raisers.